This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Al Boogie. This is Unsportsmanlike. With that being Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. CC back with us later in the week. When was the last time you've been to a buffet, Smalls? Years?
Probably a wedding.
Yeah.
Like a good Midwestern wedding.
Good one. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
A little buffet action.
Yeah.
After cocktail hour, you know? But other than that, like, when's the last time I elected to go to a buffet? Probably never in my life.
Never in your life?
Maybe at
Vegas?
Maybe at a hotel, yeah.
Vegas.
I'm not, unless it's logistics, whether it's a wedding or a hotel or whatever, right. That's my option to eat. I'm never personally electing to go to a buffet.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. This has been a wild start to the show because if you haven't been with us the last hour, shame on you.
And if shame on you.
Yeah, well, shame on you. You should be with us all 4 hours every single day. But this is just a remarkable day in sports that we are sitting here talking about not one but two gambling scandals.
Yep.
We have Shohei Ohtani's full-fledged denial that you are still not satisfied with because he didn't give the bank. Smalls wanted the routing number, I think, of all of the banking information as to how the translator got that.
You don't have more questions about that, Evan?
I have some questions. I don't think I had as many as you and Nuno, our producer, had. I think I had way less questions. I think I was hoping to believe the truth, just like I was hoping to believe the truth back in the day with Ryan Braun in the steroid denial and Barry Bonds in the steroid denial and Sosa. I guess I just hope that these sports can be clean and on the up and up.
Well, I thought about this last night. Has there ever been a big scandal in sports where the person was found out to be guilty? Or, excuse me, not guilty, innocent. And I kind of...
Manti Te'o.
I was going to say, I went back to Manti Te'o, where we all cast judgment on him and had a lot of questions about, how could you not know about this? Were you involved in this? And then when it all came out, a lot of people changed their opinions on how they felt about him and how they felt about that story.
Yep.
So I don't want to jump to judgment with Shohei Ohtani, but I also exist in a world where I've seen many figures in sports come out and deny something, and then when the investigations are done, they have been proven to be lying.
Yep.
So while I appreciate that Shohei Ohtani came out, spoke about this, because he didn't have to while the investigation was going on. He could have ignored this. That certainly makes me feel like if he's coming out and very pointedly saying, I didn't bet on baseball, I didn't bet on sports, I'm not involved in this, I'm a victim here, that does tell me something. But also, subsequently, I have more questions. I need to know, did you give your banking information to this person? Did the bank reach out to you when $4.5 million was taken from your account? Do you not check your bank account ever? How did you not know that that much money was missing? How, if you're best friends with this person and you're hanging out with him in a work setting and in a personal setting all day, every day, not know that he was being investigated for this when your money was a part of it? How did you just find out about this in a team meeting? No one from the Dodgers gave you a heads up? These are things that I would like answers to. And I know he probably didn't want to get into every single detail of this yesterday, but until I have answers to those questions, I'm going to be a little bit cautious.
I'm going to make a really dumb statement more than normal here, but...
Well, hold on. Let me buckle up for this one. Okay.
I have friends that I would give my banking information to and not worry for, like, I don't know why I would need to.
You're a better friend than me, Ev.
I'm thinking in my head, like, 2 to 5 friends that I would say, like, yeah, if you needed it, whatever reason would be, that I would actually trust in giving it to. I know that is utterly ridiculous. And I think if Ohtani is innocent.
You would give your friend your banking information.
Yes. I don't know why they would need it, but yeah, there's like one friend is coming to my mind right now that I would give him anything he wanted of mine. I mean, not my family, but I don't know why he would need it, and I would trust him completely. But
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Who said that? Pat or Nuno?
I need more friends like Evan.
Yeah, Pat is definitely not that friend of mine.
Evan, you realize that you could lend someone money without them having access to your account.
I know, but we're playing out the extreme. And because I'm now going to your point. See, it's interesting. You're actually in a roundabout way disagreeing with yourself here, Smalls. Let me explain why.
About not jumping to conclusions?
And the idea of why are we not actually taking a step back and realizing this is someone that doesn't speak the language, that came to a new country, that had no choice but to rely on someone that he trusted.
Yes.
I'm using your point and your disagreement. So Michelle Smallman is currently disagreeing with Michelle Smallman.
Evan, real quick though,
yeah.
But what would your wife say?
Good point, Nuno.
I think with this specific person, if I said to my wife, I have no choice but to give this specific person our banking information, I truly believe she'd be okay with this specific person I'm thinking of.
But then she...
It would be weird. Well, I don't know why I would do that.
There's no reason to give someone your banking information unless they're on the account with you, unless they're your spouse or a family member that would need to also be accessing the account. To have an outside person come in and say, hey, I need your banking info. No, you don't.
But I would give
that to anybody.
I would give my wife and my dad. Like that I would be fine with.
Right, but this is an outside person. This is not a family member that could be on the account.
But I'm trying to go to the place that if I am... him, like what you said about Otani, coming to a country for the first time, having to trust someone. If my friend that I'm thinking of is that person and he was able to speak the language that I was not, would I trust him in that spot? And the answer is yes. Now, the problem is I would have been duped in this exact same scenario, right?
So, correct. But I also think about it like this. He's got a team of people around him, not only with the Dodgers, but he did with the Angels. Yes, I know he keeps a very tight circle. That's something that's been reported for a long time. He's very private in a lot of ways, Shohei Ohtani is. But I can't imagine that a star of this nature doesn't have somebody else that's involved in keeping his money secure, that he doesn't have a financial advisor or another person on his team that this situation would have to go through or that it would be flagged.
Maybe I should rethink this because this friend of mine is a big St. Louis Cardinals fan.
You should definitely rethink this. Mm. Before we transition to the next topic.
Yes,
take,
Nuno.
Let's take a call. Let's take Randy in Ohio. Let's watch this on ESPN.
What's happening here, Nuno?
He's producing.
I was ready to get to this sound from Mike McCarthy yesterday in the Cowboys, but go ahead.
I have to tell you, though, that was really smooth by Nuno.
I also, one other thing before we take Randy in Ohio, watching on ESPN2. I want to reiterate one other thing about the gambling stories from yesterday. Again, I think what happened with Jontay Porter and the Toronto Raptors and these bets that he may have had a range on the under and taking himself out of the games and the prop bets, allegedly, is a great thing for the NBA. It is a great thing for the NBA because it proves if you're going to do it, we're going to catch you. And we're going to suspend you potentially if you're doing it. I think it's a great message to be sent. All right, sorry, Nuno. Randy in Ohio on ESPN2. What's up, Randy?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
It is a great thing for the NBA. I agree with you. Because as all the players sit there, they listen to all the speeches, this is what will happen to you. They had no idea that the teams were focusing on things like that. Porter, this is a dumb mistake. Like, you take yourself out of games, play less than 10 minutes, that's obvious. And to have somebody go in and drop prop bets. I'm a gambler. I don't like this at all, but I think it is a great thing for the NBA. And then I'll finish with this. The Ohtani thing is as fishy as that guy on the pier. You guys have a real good day.
Love, Randy. That was amazing.
So what Randy's referring to is, well, you tell the story.
We were walking in this morning, and it's dark outside, and our location is on a pier, so there's water surrounding us. And all of a sudden, Evan, as we're walking in, is like, whoa, what's that guy doing? Is he fishing? And I go, what are you talking about? And I look around, and outside of myself, Evan, and our security guard, there's no one else on the pier. Not one other living, breathing soul. There wasn't even rats on the pier. And he thought he saw a man fishing on the pier. He fully hallucinated right in front of me.
I was trying to protect Smalls from a ghost. I don't know.
It was a whole hallucination.
I was like, stay away from that guy. He looks crazy. There was nobody there.
There was no man. There was no
fisherman.
I'm telling you, I saw a fisherman.
Anyway, all right.
You saw a fisherman this morning, and you're going to give your friends your bank account information.
No, I'm saying in the hype.
What a Tuesday for Evan Cohen.
Here's Mike McCarthy with Adam Schefter. That's when you play the Mike McCarthy to help me out.
Well, I have a lot of experience in not being active in veteran free agency, so I guess doesn't bother me as much. But no, I think it's like anything, and it really is. I mean, you're working on your roster 365 days a year, and that's always been a reality. And I think as a coach, I've really always focused on the guys I know are going to be there in the offseason program because, you know, you really do have a chance to improve as a football team. You know, I'm a big believer in a second and third year jump. You know, we have some young players. We got some guys coming back off of IR that were young players that we're excited about. So we are definitely improving. You know, we're just not part of the free agent market right now.
All right, sorry about that. We were arguing about DMX. And talking about
what are we arguing about? So, come on. Hold on.
This is on you today, Nuno. I am trying my hardest here.
Congratulations. No, we
would put a pin in Mike McCarthy. I need to be involved in the DMX
conversation. Mike McCarthy took a shot at the Packers with Schefter. Did anybody
else
notice that?
We'll get back to that. Rough Riders. Yeah.
So I said there was a point in time where DMX was putting out two great albums a year.
Right.
And Pat's response was like, great? Like, kind of just being like, are we talking, like, he was actually putting out two great albums a year, and then Javante said his first five were extreme, were really great, but how do we allow him to just always growl on songs?
Because it was amazing. It's a signature. That's how he's allowed to growl on songs.
How did DMX come up here, by the way? Just out of curiosity. Like, where did that come
from? What's the origin story of the DMX convo?
I forgot what happened.
It was the bridge thing, the fish thing. Like, I think it was Michelle said something about Dark, and then Nuno said the rest of DMX album. And then I finished it, and then he was like, oh, his first couple albums were great. And then Pat was like, great? And yeah, that's how it started. And then you tossed the sound, and it was just silence.
I bet that we could return from every break with a DMX song. That's how great he is, and that's how deep the catalog is.
Let me go through it. Great DMX songs, okay? Or I mean, DMX songs that people would know. Rough Riders Anthem, X Gonna Give It To You, Party Up, Slippin', I'm Falling.
That's on my running playlist.
How's It Going Down? I love How's It Going Down. Do you know that song?
Of course I do.
I'm sorry. Jeez. I didn't know your DMX knowledge.
Who do you think I am? Of course I know that song.
All right. Well, there was Mike McCarthy talking about Cowboys free agency. And
any
how,
other songs?
That's where I kind of, No, that's it. I mean, he has a lot of good songs, but those are the ones that I... Look at some of them. You want me to read that one?
Money, Cash, something else.
We're on Sportsman Mike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So is it officially a DMX Tuesday?
Oh, I love that idea. DMX Tuesday here on Unsportsmanlike?
Again, no reason why, correct? There's literally no reason as to why.
To prove his greatness.
Okay. All right. It is Unsportsmanlike presented by...
Excuse me. Reiterate his greatness. He's already proven it.
Sorry.
Gone too soon.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with the easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. So we played this Mike McCarthy cut from an interview with Adam Schefter where he was talking about the free agency in the offseason and how he's used to no veteran additions because that's what happened forever with the Green Bay Packers. And we will have Adam Schefter on in a little less than an hour, but joining us now. On the same day where his mock draft drops, it is Mike Tannenbaum, former GM, Dolphins and the Jets, ESPN front office insider. And needless to say, Mike, I believe your mock draft is going to make some news today. Let me give people some of the highlights. So he has Caleb Williams number one overall. He put Drake May number two to the Commanders. He put Jaden Daniels number three to the Patriots. So far, everything is as normal. Mike, who did you put at number four, and to what team?
J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, University of Michigan, to the Arizona Cardinals. And I have the Cardinals then trading Kyler Murray and a third-round pick to Minnesota for the 11th pick overall.
Ooh, that is juicy.
This is what you think should happen, or this is what you think will happen?
It should happen, and hopefully, you know, the old expression, who says no, J.J. McCarthy is 6 years younger than Kyler Murray. He's more durable. Kyler Murray hasn't played a full season, four seasons. And most importantly, guys, he's $27 million per year cheaper. So if the three of us were running a football team and I said to you, you could have J.J. McCarthy and fill in the blank, Joey Bosa, Christian Wilkins, some great other player, to me, it's an easy decision. Nothing against Kyler Murray. I think he's still a good quarterback. But if I could have a younger, more durable, and $27 million to improve my team, that's what I'm doing if I'm the Cardinals.
So, Mike, in that scenario, then why wouldn't the Vikings find a way to jump up in the draft and secure someone like J.J. McCarthy rather than taking on Kyler Murray and that salary?
Because, Michelle, in my scenario, that's not available. If I'm Arizona, I'm taking a quarterback here. Again, taking nothing away from Kyler Murray, who still has a chance to be a good player, but history has taught us that typically players who have had injury challenges don't get older and more durable. They actually go the other way. So, again, I look at J.J. McCarthy, who lost one game in college, has the best record in the last 50 years, had the best third down when you look at QBR, when it was third and several longer, he was number one in the country. I think he has a chance to be a great player, right size, great athlete, and I don't think it's that hard of a decision, to be candid, because when you're on a rookie contract, we could look at San Francisco with Christian McCaffrey and Chase Young. We could look at what the Houston Texans have done in the last 10 days. When you have a rookie contract, guys, it's a gold nugget. And if I'm the Cardinals, I don't bypass that opportunity.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. His mock draft just released, ESPN.com. The big headline's going to be, amongst others, that Mike has Arizona at four taking J.J. McCarthy and then making a hypothetical trade here with their starting quarterback Kyler Murray to Minnesota for the 11th pick. Let me just point something out, Mike. This is, with you and J.J. McCarthy, the last time I remember you hyping a quarterback like this based on your knowledge and your scouting was Justin Herbert. And that worked, obviously. So, like, you're careful with who and when and why you're hyping a quarterback. So with that, how high could J.J. McCarthy actually go? Could he go higher than four?
Yeah, I think he'd go two. And look, I probably have an unfair advantage. I've been to, I don't know, half a dozen Michigan practices and countless games over the last couple of years. I'm very familiar with that program. I look at, you know, players that are leaders, inspire others. I candidly, you know, there's a great expression that applies here, Evan, which is the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. He has a high floor and a higher ceiling. So someone's going to have to show to me where the hole in his game is. And then you go to the combine and taking nothing away from Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels. Those guys are watching. This guy's having a great workout. I don't think it was exactly as good as C.J. Stroud's from a year before, but it still was excellent. And again, it was just another example of him being a great competitor.
Mike, do you believe that Kyler Murray is available?
For Minnesota, I would think he would be, because if we're Minnesota and we're sitting there at 11, I'd rather have Kyler Murray than, you know, Bo Nix or Michael Penix. So now if we're Minnesota guys putting on that hat, this is a great trade. We're paying $10 million less per year than we're paying for Kirk Cousins, and we're 9 years younger. So if I'm Minnesota, if I could get a third-round pick, Kyler Murray, and save $10 million per year and gain 9 years on the quarterback position, that's a good move for Minnesota.
Mike, even though the Giants have Daniel Jones signed to that $160 million deal, they have gotten ownership, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, from ownership, the green light to draft a quarterback in this year's draft. Do you think that the Giants will take that approach?
They should. Look, in the NFC, you have to go be in your own division, let alone, you know, Dallas, which has won 12 games for 3 years in a row, the Eagles, who were just in the Super Bowl, a Green Bay team who may be the best team overall with a great young quarterback. Detroit was in the championship game, and the 49ers aren't going anywhere. So is it reasonable to think that the Giants can get to where they want to go with Daniel Jones? Just his durability alone, to me, would be a massive question mark.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum. Mock draft launches today, ESPN.com. It's up there. The headline is going to be J.J. McCarthy 4 overall to Arizona, and then Arizona trading Kyler Murray to Minnesota. The other headline, Mike, is where you have Marvin Harrison Jr., which is not the first wide receiver overall. Who and why is above him in this mock draft?
Malik Nabers from LSU. If you're looking for player comps, you know, Malik Nabers, I'm not saying he's as good as, but similar to a guy like Tyreek Hill, just dynamic speed, that he just runs by people both before and after the catch. And I look at Marvin Harrison, who I also think is a great player, like Larry Fitzgerald. And if I'm the Giants, again, they need the ability to score points. And to me, like, Nabers has a chance to hit more home runs than Marvin Harrison. So it was 1 and 1A, but I just like Nabers' play speed a little bit better than Marvin Harrison's.
So then where in your mock, Mike, do you have Marvin Harrison Jr. landing?
Going to Chicago, which is, you know, just think of it if you're a Bear fan, because I think Atlanta's going to take Dallas Turner, and that's how you get Marvin Harrison down, because I think Tennessee, barring something really strange, will go get an offensive lineman, excuse me. So now if you're Chicago, you come out of this with both Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison, which is an ideal scenario, because in a year, Keenan Allen can graduate, he signs a one-year deal, and away you go.
This is a remarkable – I mean, Chicago right now is so happy. The concept of – in Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft, they get Caleb Williams 1, and they get Marvin Harrison Jr. at 9, which is amazing. You have 4 QBs in the top 4, but you have 6 QBs, if I'm not mistaken, in the first round, or 5 QBs in the first round, Mike?
Yeah, it's 6, and it's Michael Penix. So Bo Nix going to Denver, which I think everyone feels is a certainty. I think Sean Payton sees a guy that's smart, can process information, very accurate, probably doesn't have the arm strength that – Drew Brees has, you know, watching Bo Nix carefully at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was good. That would be my one concern, is getting the ball down the field. And then, you know, we look at the Rams. First time in 7 years, they have a first-round pick. And, again, Matt Stafford, guys, much closer to the end than the beginning. They just saw the sudden retirement of Aaron Donald. And if Michael Penix was healthy, he'd be a top-five pick, but obviously missed a number of season-ending injuries at Indiana before transferring to Washington. I think it's a great organizations take advantage of opportunities, and this is a great long-term decision for Sean McVay and Les Snead.
Well, Mike, as we're doing this quarterback musical chairs in regards to this year's draft, a team that has been in the quarterback conversation is the Las Vegas Raiders. Where do you have them as far as the quarterback position is concerned?
Yeah, massive question mark. It's a really good question, and I think it's something where they have to keep looking. I just don't think it's going to fall there for them. I have them taking an offensive tackle to Lee Swaga from Oregon State. So, you know, right now it looks like it's going to be, you know, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And, you know, when you have a defensive head coach the way Antonio Pierce wants to play, I think he probably thinks in his mind, we can get by with what we have. We're not going to turn the ball over. I think losing Josh Jacobs was hugely consequential to the way he wants to play.
Mike Tannenbaum will be all over the ESPN family of networks today. I believe that his J.J. McCarthy 4, Kyler Murray to the Vikings is going to cause everybody some conversation today, which is awesome. Yeah. Mike, always. I mean,
who says no? Who says no?
I'm going to tell you something. I would if I'm Minnesota. I don't
Me
want
too.
Kyler Murray.
I would too.
I don't think Kyler Murray is a big-time quarterback. I'm sorry, I don't. And I cannot get over the study hall clause. I just can't do that.
So who's your quarterback?
For me, I'm going to try to trade up and get J.J. McCarthy.
He's not available.
Well, I don't believe that Arizona's going to take him in 4. Well, and maybe, I don't believe that Arizona's going to trade out of 4.
Well, so, Evan, are you being presumptuous that Monty Austin-Ford hasn't read my mock draft yet?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he has. You know, he's part of the Patriot family. So am I, of course. I sent it to him early. So, yeah, you know. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
The CEO of UFL and 7 Bucks Productions, Danny Garcia. She's going to be in studio with us. This is going to be awesome. When you talk about business people, I don't know that there's any bigger and better than Danny, and she is going to join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, Smalls, this is a big weekend. Everybody's all worried. Oh, there's no football. There's no football. Football is back. The UFL is back. The season kicks off this weekend. We got a doubleheader on ESPN beginning Sunday at noon Eastern time. UFL founder, chairwoman, owner, Danny Garcia is here with us in studio along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen. With you, thank you for joining us, first of all. Let's go back. UFL is a different name, right? Because you guys owned the USFL, then there was the XFL, or the XFL was involved in the USFL. What happened here between last season and this season, Danny?
So I like the way you just mixed it all up. That was like totally right.
Yes,
so,
thank you.
So what happened is the XFL had its, I would call it its 3.0 season. USFL had its very successful second season. And as we had finished and the USFL was in the middle of their season, it all became very clear that there was a great opportunity with the leagues coming together. So we spent a big chunk, the half of all last year, talking about it, putting it together, and finally forming the UFL with two conferences, the USFL and the XFL conference.
So fans who were very invested in both of these leagues, can they expect anything different after this merger?
You know what? They should. First of all, I was just in Arlington with all of the teams, the coaches and the players, and the quality of play, the athletes, the conditioning, what I saw. So first of all, they should see that massive improvement. If you're an XFL fan, if you're a USFL fan, you're going to see similar rules. Some tweaks, we took some from one league, some from the other to put them together. You're still going to see the innovation, the spirit, the energy. You're going to see players who are on the field playing for a purpose. Very, very driven. You'll see new logo, obviously UFL logo, but it's going to feel the same. It's going to feel like spring football, only better.
You said something that's really important, Danny, and that is innovation. Over the course of time, average NFL fan may not realize this, but if the more and more you pay attention, the NFL steals from your league a lot. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that, like, they see what you guys are doing and have done and take it. Is there anything specifically right now that you're looking at and saying this year we're all going to see this and then it's going to go to the NFL?
Well, first of all, to give context to that, that's one of the great things about owning the league, right? You have control, and we have a great partnership with the NFL. We talk about rules. We talk about innovations. We talk about some of the things they can't do, but some of the things that we want to do. So I think if I was going to look at one thing in particular, we have a coach's challenge, that red flag, that they can challenge a play that didn't even get called or something that was missed or something that happened. And I think that has been one of the most satisfying executions. And I personally would say that the NFL and all coaches are thinking about
it. Wait, I got to ask a quick follow-up on that because that's interesting. So basically what you're saying, so UFL fans, and it's on ESPN starting at noon Eastern this weekend. Danny Garcia is here. She's in charge of the whole thing. And so what they're going to see this weekend is, oh, I think that's a holding. The ref missed it. A coach could then challenge it. They go to replay. Basically, you're doing what every fan wants football to be, correct?
Correct. And now, it's not excessive. It's one time. You've got to have timeouts. There are specific rules. But it allows that moment when human error happens to just say, hey, let me catch that. That was really important. It gets reviewed by Dean Blandino. Goes up to the team. They review it. And when it makes sense, then they go ahead and make the change, and it's extremely satisfying.
Danny, as a girl from St. Louis, I certainly love my St. Louis Battlehawks, formerly of the XFL, now in the UFL. And in going to the games over the years, I saw the growth of the league and the growth of the popularity of the league. How have you witnessed that growth? Where is it at right now?
Absolutely. So, you know, we've, as we're going through and doing our season ticket sales and our single ticket sales, I'm so excited to say that we've seen advancement and growth in all of our markets. And that St. Louis market, we always have to call out because there's more St. Louis to be had and to be given, and they've come out so very strong. So we've got new markets with the USFL that we're deeply investing in. For that conference, the XFL is returning to a lot of its legacy markets, and that makes an impact. So you see greater engagement. You see people saying, okay, this league is here to stay, mm-hmm. and we'll see that in the turnout. So we're super excited.
I'm sure you've sat there with your team and said, who are we going for? Who are the fans? Who's going to watch it on ESPN? Who's going to come to the game? So who are we looking for to join us as part of this UFL support here?
Absolutely. You know, we're looking for, when it comes to football, everyone loves football. If you're a football fan, we want to be able to appeal to you. But we also want to be able to appeal to people who are like, you know what, I've been on the fringes of football. Maybe I don't understand it. Maybe it's this. Maybe it doesn't feel like it's for me. The UFL is for everyone. Our players represent potential and opportunity and taking the future by their own two hands and innovation and connection. So we're looking for a fan who wants to see more, who wants transparency, who wants to go deeper into what the football ecosystem is like, and that's where we deliver.
Spring football has always been a part of the ecosystem, but it's never been really as successful as it has been up until this day. Why do you think that is? What have you guys brought to the spring football environment that has allowed fans to really latch on to this product?
Well, you know, I would step back and say, first of all, it's ownership. We have incredible partners, Fox, Disney, ESPN, Redbird Capital, Dwayne Johnson. So the people who sit around the table are so deeply invested and also tenured. They know how to do sports. They know how to build the business. Obviously, Dwayne and I come from big entertainment, live action, connecting with audiences. We inject that into the league. I would say those elements have play a huge difference because the fan can feel it. The other thing is the business acumen. Starting a league is expensive. Taking it out 3 to 5, 10 years, you have to have that discipline. It's not about, oh, it's just ticket sales. It's how are you going to show up? How are you going to add value to your partners? And how are you in it for the long term? And we are very methodical.
We're talking with Danny Garcia, UFL founder, chairwoman, and owner here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you, CeCe back with us later in the week. So the NBA has the G League. Major League Baseball has minor leagues. Hockey has tons of minor leagues. Everyone asks the question, I'll ask it. Is the UFL going to be a direct minor league system attached to the NFL at some point?
That's a great question. The UFL is spring football league. We are a standalone professional league. And it's extremely important that we stay in that space so that everything we deliver is for that moment. Now, symptomatically, in success, our players can move up to the NFL, but that's not the first initiative. It's about true, how are they developing? How are they playing more? But how are we delivering a product that stands on its own? And that's where leadership is at. That's where our coaches are at. And that ensures that what the fans are seeing is of the highest quality.
But just to reverse maybe the question, if I'm the NFL, and who am I to tell the NFL what to do? I think they're doing okay. I'm looking at Danny Garcia, who has proven business after business after business to be successful, sports and entertainment. Why am I not thinking, hey, can my fourth quarterback on a team that will never get reps and needs reps, why can't that guy play in the UFL over the spring? Because right now they're not allowed to, correct?
I would have to confirm.
Okay, let's pretend they're not allowed to, just for argument's sake. Is the goal ultimately for the NFL to send you players?
I think the goal is that we should have transparency. I'll tell you, the NFL, again, I have to reiterate the partnership and the relationship that we have. We have these type of conversations all the time about, because at the end of the day, we all just want to advance football and we want the ecosystem to spread and we want players to have more time and more exposure. So these conversations happen weekly. And yes, absolutely. We would love to see that type of transparency because it's the best thing for the game. It's the best thing for the fans. And it's the best thing for our athletes.
Danny, I wanted to ask you about the fun element with the UFL because going to those games, the environment is different. You talk about how you and your partners have really focused on entertainment and weaving that into the product that we see. What sort of conversations do you have about that, about how you can elevate the fun and entertainment level of this brand of football?
You know, it starts with, first of all, continuous, and it starts with, okay, how are we building it? What is the price of our tickets? How are we giving so much accessibility so fans can come? And then we activate, you know, in addition to activating around a live event, the things that happen before and during, we make sure to activate in a way digitally. So if you look at our digital channels, which are extremely robust and have a high level engagement, we are continuously during season back and forth with our community. So if you're a fan, you're going to see yourself on there. You're going to see our digital teams and our social teams listening to the stories you're telling, seeing what you're delivering. Battle Hawks is a great, great example. Mm-hmm. Right? It's Cause the Law and the amount of characters that show up. We want to honor them. The game is not just what happens on the field. It's what's happening in the stands, on the field, and together. And we make sure to put the lens on all of that.
What's the chant again that you had to do when you were in game?
Caw, caw, caw is law.
I know, but that's what I was.
Caw is law. Danny knows. She knows. Danny, caw is law.
Danny, let's finish with this. So people understand about Danny Garcia. She is a top-notch businesswoman. That it's not only the UFL. There are other businesses that you're involved in. So how do you marry these? How do you take the other businesses and integrate them into the UFL?
Well, you know, a lot of my businesses are integrated, right? So philosophically, if you stand back and you're like, Danny, why are you making these choices? I'm all about advancing the human experience. I invest to inspire. I want to do things that when they connect with that audience or fan member or consumer, actor, athlete, their lives are better and changed. And so almost all of my companies have a place inside of the UFL. Mm. Seven Bucks Productions, right? Entertainment, storytelling, boom, lays over the UFL. Terramana, Zoa, sponsors. Project Rock, Under Armour, that's our uniforms. That's what our athletes and our coaches are wearing on the sideline. All for advancing. One should raise the other, but they all should work together. And philosophically, they're all aligned.
Danny Garcia is the UFL founder, chairwoman, owner. She has many other businesses, as she just mentioned. The season kicks off this weekend. We will have a doubleheader for you, ESPN, noon Eastern time on Sunday. Danny, thank you so much for the
time.
Thank
you. So much fun.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Before Pat Costello, our producer, makes everybody miserable with items that he's over in the world, I'm going to put a smile on people's faces by telling them all about True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green is where you got to go. All you need to do is mow your lawn, water your lawn. True Green is going to take care of the rest. They've been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. I'm one of those homeowners that uses True Green. You can visit True Green, that's TRUGREEN.com today, and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's truegreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner, and so is Pat Costello. Morning, Pat.
Morning. Hey, speaking of good lawns, baseball this week, we've got real live baseball.
Let's go.
And I've seen a bunch of MLB teams putting out their menus for the year.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always fun.
Yes.
However,
why do all of them have bratwurst? It's insane. Bratwurst is so nasty. It's awful. Keep it away from me. It makes me sick to even think about it. And, like, every baseball team has a bratwurst on the menu. It's crazy. I don't get it.
Have you ever eaten a bratwurst?
Yes, I have.
And you think they're disgusting?
Disgusting.
I don't even know what to say to that. Like, do you not have taste buds?
Yes, I do. And that's why I think they're gross.
You prefer a hot dog over a brat?
10 times out of 10.
That I can't. I cannot fathom.
It's not even a question.
A brat is more flavorful. I think that the meat is better in a brat. I would take a brat over a hot dog any day.
I think it's completely unreasonable for Pat to say that the Milwaukee Brewers shouldn't have bratwurst on the menu.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Okay, they can. Okay. But like, okay, it's like that. Every team.
How about everyone in the Midwest or the NL Central at least?
Why?
Because they're delicious. And I don't it's part honestly of our Midwestern culture
in general. Like most stadium foods are kind of gross. Can we all agree on that? Like most of them look pretty
nasty.
They've
gotten a lot better over the course of time.
I am so out on the hard pretzel at a stadium. It's
what?
It's a soft pretzel that's supposed to be soft. It's never soft.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's always hard. The cheese is congealed. You know what I mean? It's never a fresh pour of the cheese you dip it in. I always eye it up and think, that sounds good with a beer. And then I'm always disappointed when I eat it.
Shout out to hot dog.
Shout out to my 7-year-old daughter who loves hot pretzels. So, just saying.
If they are fresh, they're elite.
Yeah,
they are
those.
Rarely fresh.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's different. I thought you were going to be out on the hot pretzel in general. You're out on the poorly cooked hot pretzel.
But that's at almost every stadium in America. It's in that little plastic container circling around on the hook for hours and hours.
Circling.
You know what I'm saying? It's on that little hook. It circles around. It's a bummer.
All right, next one. Well, the hook will bring it back.
I'm tired of official reviews across all sports, but now specifically in basketball because we're seeing it a lot. Like, the ball goes off a fingertip and we spend 10 minutes trying to decipher whether or not it actually did or not, and we slow the game down to a snail's pace. There's 30 seconds left, and somehow it takes 45 minutes. I don't know how this is happening. Can we put, like, a shot clock on reviews? If we can't figure it out in 20 seconds, then, like, just keep the call as it is, and let's keep the game moving, please.
A timer on reviews?
Like, it takes forever. We need to speed these reviews up. It's a killer.
They want to get it right, though, Pat. Wouldn't you rather them take the time and get it correct?
No, it takes too long.
So shorter, incorrect, longer, correct. Those are your two options for a review.
Give me shorter every time.
Shorter, incorrect. Got it.
Well, what if it's the Eagles that's on the wrong end of a bad call? And had they had more time, they could have gotten it correct.
I'll live with it as long as the game keeps moving. You can't even tell me that I'm wrong on this. They take so long.
I mean,
the reviews are endless.
Danny Garcia just sat here and she said to us that the UFL is going to have these reviews that potentially could review, or not potentially, will review everything once a game. I love that. Good. It's going to annoy Pat, too. Next.
I feel like my argument about DMX was misconstrued.
Okay.
So Nuno said that DMX was putting out 2 albums a year, and he made it sound like he did that his entire career. He did that the first time in 1998, and then never again for the rest of his career. DMX put out some great songs. But that was my point, is that he didn't put out 2 great albums a year for like 20 straight years. He did it one time and it was great.
Let me just be clear. This DMX argument somehow happened in the midst of Smalls and I talking about the 2 gambling situations going on in sports between Shohei Ohtani of the Dodgers and Jontay Porter of the Raptors, then playing Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys sound with Adam Schefter.
Nuno made sure we took a call.
And then the response amongst the show was not about the gambling stories or about the Cowboys. It was about the late, great rapper DMX and how many good albums he had.
But you're missing out the point of the story where you saw someone in the shadows. So someone talked about it was dark, and I finished And Hell Is Hot, and that's how we got into the DMX stuff.
Nice. Nuno dropping bars back
exactly.
there.
Exactly. There's always a method to our madness back here.
So, Pat, what is your official stance then on DMX? You think he's good, not great?
Yeah, I think he had a good, like, 5-year run and then just kind of he was not really around for, like, a long period of time.
He was,
well,
yeah,
there,
but
there was a reason for that.
I didn't say there wasn't a reason. I just, that's just the truth of it.
Okay.
What's your favorite DMX song, Pat?
Man, that's good. That's a good question. That's a tough one.
Do you not know any?
I do. I don't know which one's my favorite. Probably X gonna give it to you.
It's not the one with Cisco. You told me the one with Cisco. Is that not your favorite?
He's snorting. He's snorting.
Talk about
a
guy
song with Cisco.
Wait, did he really have a song
you said
with
that was
Cisco?
Your favorite song.
A song with Cisco. Talk about a guy who had a moment in time. Cisco?
How's It Going Down is the best DMX song. Or Slippin'.
What These Ladies Want is pretty good.
Pat, back to you.
I don't know how else to say. 1 minute.
If you're in self-checkout and you have a cart full of items, just know that I hate you. If you can't carry into self-checkout everything you need in, like, a basket or a bag, then you shouldn't be in self-checkout. Just get in line and have your stuff scanned, because you're just clogging everything up for everybody else who wants to get in and out quick. That's the point of self-checkout, not to take 45 minutes to scan your items.
Most self-checkouts have an item limit. Does your grocery store not?
No, it's just self-checkout now.
So are you the person that will say something to someone in line? Like, hey.
Nah, I'm non-confrontational.
So you will just passive-aggressively stare at them?
Yeah, I just hold it inside and get angry in the car.
And then talk about it on national television the next day.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate self-checkout.
Oh, I love it.
I don't like it at all. I'd rather go to regular checkout. I feel like it's so much more efficient. It's easier for me to pack the bags.
No, the line's always
shorter. I always
have
an issue with self-checkout. Oh, Adam Schefter is going to join us. Coming up next, we're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.